Pat. Thank you, ladies. And thank you, Kiana, for a beautiful offertory. People do need the Lord, don't they? So we appreciate that. I forgot to mention to pray for our country. We need to pray for the United States of America. And, of course, we know we're not going in a very good direction spiritually, morally. Things are getting worse and worse, but ours is to pray, to do what we can, to stand, but to pray. Pray for our country, pray for our leaders, pray for our president, that God will give him wisdom to lead according to biblical principles, according to God's will. And pray for our troops, our servicemen and women who are defending us, some in very dangerous places yet. We forget that. Pray for an end to the terrible abortion industry, the murder of innocent unborn children. They are children. They are just not born yet, and we are killing them by the thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands in the womb. And God have mercy upon a nation who cares little for or nothing for unborn children. So need prayer. People need the Lord. I invite you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, as the children may be dismissed to children's church. We are continuing our study of Peter, and a wonderful book of the Bible. It covers a lot of different areas, and we're looking now at the family, the husbands and the wives in this section. So that's what we're talking about, because that's what Peter is talking about. So 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Likewise, you wives, Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without a word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, of that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Then verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. This morning we want to talk about wife honoring husbands. Wife honoring husbands. Would you join me in prayer by standing together? And let's look to the Lord and ask God's blessing on our time in his word. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the Bible. We have the very words of God given to us through your moving upon holy men of God in old time to pen the very words that you want for us to have in our possession. And in this word, we see the revelation of God through the person of Jesus Christ. He came into this world and he declared who God is and what God is like and the love of God and the judgment of God, the justice of God, as well as the sacrifice of God in giving us his son to die for our sins. Lord, we thank you so much now for the word. We thank you for this passage. May we learn from it. May we heed it. May we read it and heed it and apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to be found in the Bible every day, gleaning and being nourished from the things of your word as you want us to do. So bless now. I pray for your help and strength as I preach. And I pray for all of us as we listen, that we might listen to what you would have for us today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. Peter here is addressing the difficult circumstances in which a woman becomes a believer, but her husband does not. She is saved, but her husband is not saved. And now she finds herself living in an unequal yoke relationship. And her devotion has always been to her husband primarily, but now a change has taken place. And her new Lord is Jesus Christ, to whom she has to give her all, her utmost. And yet, as we saw last week in verses 1 through 6, she is still to be devoted to her husband. She is to be submissive to him. She is to please him and by her behavior win him to Jesus Christ. You see, her witness is not so much through her mouth as through her life. We saw last time in verses 1 through 6 that she is to be submissive. Number one, she is to be submissive. Be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without a word from the wife, be won by her conversation. Secondly, she is to be pure, as they behold your chaste, your pure manner of living. Thirdly, she is to be faithful. She is to do that with fear, honoring God because she believes in God's word. Number four, she is to be modest. It's not to be the outward, mainly it's to be what's inside. Okay, and we talked at length about that, what modesty is, and that we're still to dress appropriately. Peter's just saying, don't let the extravagancy of your dress get in the way of what's in the heart. We ought to dress in a way that our heart is revealed, that the radiance of Jesus Christ comes through our face, not the other parts of our body and things like that. Number five, she is in the sight of God very precious, verse 4. And number 6, she is to be like the holy women of old time, even Sarah, who called Abraham, her husband, Lord, with a little L, remember, a little L, and we're to follow her and the example of other holy women of God. So she has been given by God a huge responsibility, a great commission, if you will, to be a light to her husband, to be an instrument in God's hand that he can use to win him, to get him saved. But if she obeys God's word, she will be given the grace and strength to do as God has commanded her to do. But lest we think that all the responsibility is on the shoulder of the wife, God has some instructions for the husband as well. Listen up, men. Here we are. And he will do well, the husband will do well, to follow these orders from heaven. In fact, we all will do well to listen and heed and obey God's word in this and in every other area of our lives. So verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Likewise, which means in a similar manner, in the same sacrificing way, as a wife, husbands, you are to sacrifice yourself for your wife. Likewise, it's another way of God saying, husband, you're not off the hook. You're not off the hook. You'd better get your act together and live like a real husband should live. And you better start treating your wife like the princess that she is. Ye husbands, God says. Ye husbands, you, I want you. God is addressing the man because he has saved the best for last. Or should I say the worst for last? No, the best for last. So what's a man to do concerning his wife? What are we to do concerning our wives? Well, number one, understand her. Number one, understand her. Dwell with them, husbands, according to knowledge. In other words, get to know your wife, is what he's saying. Dwell with her. Dwell means live with her. Dwell in wedlock with her. You live together, so live together. The emphasis is on together. You are together. You're made one flesh. So live as two who have become one together. Dwell in the holy estate of matrimony, right? Right? Be true to those vows. Keep all those promises you made to her when you were young and foolish. Because you weren't as foolish as you thought, right? After all, you chose her, and by your choosing her, she became God's choice for you. And that's wonderful. My wife was God's choice for me. And you will honor God as you honor your wife. So live in wedlock with her according to knowledge. What's the difference between love and marriage? Love is blind, and marriage is an eye-opener. So get your eyes open, husbands, and live according to knowledge. The word knowledge here means knowledge, wisdom, doctrine. It's a workable, practical knowledge is the idea of the word. You learn to know her, and you have wisdom as to how to treat her with the utmost respect. It's a knowledge that's learned. It's a knowledge, it's a working knowledge, an experiential knowledge. In other words, you learn how to live together through a lot of experiments, some of which have blown up in your face. But that's all right. They haven't blown the marriage apart, right? And if we're what we ought to be, they will not blow the marriage apart. A New American Standard Bible translates it in an understanding way. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. That's not what the word means, but that's the idea. It actually means knowledge. Live according to knowledge. Get to know her. Get a lot of knowledge about your wife. And how long does that take? Forever. It takes your whole marriage, right? You strive to know her. You gain such a knowledge of how she thinks and feels and what she desires and aspires to, and you gain the wisdom in how to treat her and love her and meet her every need. In other words, she is everything to you. And so you invest everything you can into knowing and loving her because she's everything to you. And you say that, right? My wife is everything to me. So what are you doing to prove that for her and with her? I'm afraid that far too many of us stupid men are so strapped to our own personal agenda and self-interest that we spend very little time and energy trying to really get to know our spouse as we should. We just write it off as a girl thing. Women, right? I just can't understand women. Well, join the crowd. Someone said that women are to be loved, not to be understood. Well, that's all right, okay? Just love them then. Just love them. Don't worry about the understanding part. Just love them and give yourself to her. And so don't have that attitude. I just can't understand women. Well, I know we can't understand, but let's keep trying and trying and trying. Ralph didn't always understand Alice and the Honeymooners, but in the end, they always hugged each other. Right after he had said, pow, right in the kisser to the moon. Then Ralph and Alice hugged each other and he said, baby, you're the greatest. And I love that ending. And it just almost always ended that way. And that's the way it ought to be in our relationship. We just hug each other. Honey, you're the greatest. You're the greatest. The problem is we don't work at trying to understand each other. We're too impatient. But a good marriage takes work. And it takes patience and time and forgiveness and communication and communication and communication and talking. And then I say communication. And it takes that from both husband and wife. The wife once said, our neighbor kisses his wife when she leaves for work. Why don't you do that? And the husband responded, how can I? I don't even know her. Communication, right? Get to know each other. Get to know your best half, men. And I don't care if you've been married 2 years or 10 years or 20 years or 40 years or 60 years. We men still have more that we can do to know the needs and wants and desires of our wives. We have a lot more that we can do. We think we've done all that we can do and there's no changing us now. It's too late, right? Oh, really? It's too late, huh? Do we reach a certain age and time in our marriages that we don't have to work at it anymore? I haven't found that to be true. I mean, that sounds as biblical as saying, well, we get to the place where we've arrived spiritually. No, we never arrive until we arrive in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I mean, I'm amazed sometimes at the things I forget about what I should have known about helping meet the needs of my wife, you know. And we've been married, you know, 1972, so figure that out. And we've been married long enough, I ought to know her. Verse 7, likewise ye wives, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. So understand her, number one. Number two, honor her. Men, you've got to honor your wife, giving honor unto the wife. I believe a wife will greatly desire to follow her husband's leadership and be submissive to him if he will always treat her. I said always. If he will always treat her with the honor and respect that she is due. You probably made a solemn vow on your wedding day to do just that. You vowed to honor her. Are you doing that? The preacher said, will you have this woman to be your wife, to live together in holy marriage? Or if you were married a long time ago, the preacher might have said, wilt thou have this woman to be thy wedded wife, to live together in the holy estate of matrimony? Wilt thou love her and, you know, will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, forsaking all others? Keep thee only under, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live. And you said, I will, or I do. Definition of honor: to regard with great respect, to esteem. Honor your wife, God says. That means to regard your wife with great respect, to esteem her, to put her up here. How many of us do that? How many of us regard our spouse with great respect? If we don't, we need to begin now, because right here, his word is given by the Holy Spirit, and it tells us we must be giving honor unto the wife. The word giving means to render as due, giving someone their due. In other words, we have a debt that is due our wives, and we better start paying it. We have a lot of back pay we owe them, don't we? Honor means value. It's putting a price, a worth upon her. And something has value in the eyes of the beholder. Well, I as a husband am beholding her, and I owe her honor. In other words, when I give honor to her, I consider her to be of great value, of great worth. And anything that's full of value, we handle with care. Like if we have an antique dish or cup or something in our house, I don't use it. I find the old coffee cups, you know. I'm not going to use that one. Then if I drop it, there goes $200, you know, or whatever. We handle it with care. We lock it up in a shelf somewhere behind a locked door. So that's what we do when something's of value. We guard it. We protect it. We lock it up. And so care for her. Guard her. Keep her. She's the most valuable, precious, priceless jewel that you've got. You know, a queen is always treated with honor and respect and is highly esteemed. Well, my wife is my queen. And she's not queen for a day, as on Mother's Day. But I should treat her as my queen every day. We must honor her, husband. By the way, if I let my mind and my heart and my eyes wander on others, I have just devalued my wife. I have robbed her of preciousness. And that includes being involved in pornography, not to mention adultery, or even the selfish pursuit of my own interests at the expense of esteeming my wife. We honor her as the weaker vessel. Now, she may be stronger in many ways, and many times our wives are, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, but physically, that's what this is talking about. She is generally weaker. Now, there are exceptions, and I've said, you know, I've known a few where the husband was almost fearful of his wife because she can beat him up. I had to take one husband and help pay for karate lessons for him so he can defend himself. I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But if you need help, man, come see me. No. No, but generally, women are the weaker vessel. Vessel means body. And she's usually weaker physically, sometimes emotionally, but definitely weaker physically, generally. Like, women don't play in the NFL, the National Football League. They don't compete in pro basketball with men. There's an NBA, and then there's a WNBA, Women's National Basketball. Same is true in golf. There's a PGA, but then they added an LPGA, Ladies Professional Golf, and tennis, and other sports. Only 3% of construction workers are women. 13% of police officers, 15% of military are women. She generally needs the strength and protection and provision of her husband. And he recognizes the delicacy of her feelings that God has given her, and he treats her accordingly. He honors her that way, doesn't he? He honors her. Let me mention a few ways among many that we can honor our wives. Okay, number one, and this is under the heading, honor her. Number one, speak kindly to her. By the way, is it temperature okay in here? Yes, it's just right. How many are warm? Okay, we're going to turn the air on over there. You all go over on that side because everybody else is. Maybe we can put the temp down to where the air kicks in, John, and we're new at that. We're in a new season now, so we're not quite figuring this out, whether we run the furnace or the air conditioner. Anyway, number one, do speak kindly to her. Okay, ways we can honor our wives. Number one, speak kindly to her. Our words should be gracious and kind and gentle. We don't speak roughly to others, do we? Why do we think we can do it to our family members? To our wives? Why do we think it's okay to speak harshly, roughly, judgmentally, self-righteously to our spouse? It's not okay. Ever. It's not okay. And we don't honor by talking trash to her. Rather than honor, we degrade God's gift to us. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, Ephesians 4 tells us. Number two, be interested in her. Be interested in her. Show an interest in what she likes and what she likes to talk about. I heard about a man who didn't talk to his wife for 18 years, and someone said, "Why didn't you talk to your wife for 18 years?" He said, "I didn't want to interrupt her." Well, in our home, it's the opposite. I'm the talker. I'm the one that's nonstop talking. And I got to get her to talk to me, you know. So anyway, show an interest in what she likes to talk about, where she likes to go. Show an interest in the decor, the decorations at home. And wives, if your husband doesn't notice, just take him over there and show him. Guess what I spent 5 hours working on today that you haven't noticed for a week? Roberta did that with me one time, and I was embarrassed, but I started noticing things. Where did this come from? And wow, when did you? She kind of, you know, the hands on the hip type thing. Like a week ago. I'm serious. It was a week. I can only remember what it was now. But notice things. Show an interest in her decor, in her recipes, in her projects. Don't be so wrapped up in your own interests that you neglect her. Number three, do not. Here's a do not. Do not ever discuss her weaknesses or shortcomings with others. Don't talk about her. And she has some shortcomings and weaknesses. You don't need to blab about it to others. Don't demean your wife in front of others. Now, I embarrass my wife here in church, but I hope I don't demean her. But I will admit I embarrass her when she gives me that look. I know, okay, I'm going the wrong direction here. But don't demean your wife in front of others. Don't tell jokes about her. Now, you can brag about her with others, but don't bring her down, right? You're one. You're in a one-flesh relationship. Number four, do speak highly of her to your children. Do speak highly of her, really, to everybody but your children. Teach your children to respect their mom. Thank and compliment her in front of them. Show physical affection to your spouse in front of your children. Hug her and kiss her and let your kids go, "Oh, Dad, do you have to do that?" Yeah, you have to do that. Speak highly of her to everyone. Brag on her. Tell them what a wonderful woman you've married. Let me tell you what an amazing woman my wife is. Have I told you about that? Yeah, Jack, you told us about this last week. Number five, do tell her what she means to you. Do tell her what she means to you, that you appreciate her. When was the last time you told your wife, "Honey, I just want you to know that no matter what happens, I'm always going to be grateful that you let me be your husband. I'm yours, and I'm with you, and I'm for you." We can tell our wives that. You can't tell her enough how grateful you are for her. And you get a lot of mileage out of that. It will pay dividends in her wanting to be the best wife that she can be for you. That's not why you do it, but that'll be the result anyway. That's a side benefit. Number six, do not treat her as a servant, because some of you do treat her as a, do not treat her as your slave. A little tip here. Women do not like to be addressed woman. Woman, where's my supper, right? You don't do that. Maybe they did in old days, but you don't do that. Your wife is not your servant. She is your queen. And so what do? We get on our knees and we bow and we say, "Honey, what do you want me to do for you today? What can I do?" So your wife isn't your servant. She's your queen, as heirs together of the grace of God. So look for ways to serve her. Number seven, do be a servant to her. Don't treat her as a servant, but do be a servant. Look for every way you can serve her and help her and encourage her. Ask her what she would like you to do to help. Like vacuum, wash the dishes, just finish that project that you started 5 years ago. Ask her how she thinks you can be a better husband. Now, I know this is really risky, but if you approach her with the right humble attitude, it'll be a blessing to both of you in the end. It really will. Number eight, do not compare her to other women. Do not compare her to other women. Pointing out how another woman dresses or what another woman does for her husband is one of the fastest ways to demotivate and wound your wife. She is your wife, not somebody else's. Be loyal to her and don't compare her. Never, never do that. Number nine. Now, you can say, "Well, I wish that person looked like you did, because you're so beautiful," you know. Maybe that's all right, but don't ever compare. Number nine, do tell her specific things that she does that encourage you. That's a long one, I know. Do tell her how she encourages you. And if you think there are none, then open your eyes. You probably take for granted a lot of what she does. Thank her for the simple things. For the way she cares for the kids, the laundry she did, maybe a trait about her that you appreciate. Take time to notice and thank her. And finally, number 10, do pray with her. Do pray with her. You are her spiritual head and spiritual leader. So be one. Be one. Verse 7 continues by saying that your prayers need be not hindered. And I'll say more about this in just a few minutes. So, okay, we're number one, understand her. Number two, honor her. And number three, because you are heirs together. Verse 7, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You are heirs together. So be heirs together. Peter gives the basis for the husband treating his wife with honor and dignity and tender care. They are joint heirs of the grace of life. You are equal before God spiritually. The word heirs together is used in three other places. Let me mention two of them. I'll just read them. Romans 8. Verse 16 and 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So we as believers are joint heirs with Jesus Christ of all that God has promised to Christ. He's given to us. And we and our spouses are joint heirs together. And in Ephesians 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise of Christ by the gospel. So the Gentiles, not just the Jews, are fellow heirs with all believers as husbands and wives are joint heirs. We have the amazing privilege as married couples of being joint heirs of our fellow Christians and with Christ himself. In other words, we are one. We are one in Christ. And a joint heir, fellow heirs of what? Of the grace of life. This is the blessing of married life now and life in heaven with Christ then. Forever. Forever. We're going to be in heaven together by God's grace. So let's get along and love each other now. But our marriages are the result of God's grace. Marriage is his gift to us to enjoy. So enjoy. Live joyfully with the wife of your youth. Heirs together of the grace of life. You know, we're enjoying the blessing of heaven on earth now as believers, and we'll enjoy as heirs a heavenly earth then in the millennial kingdom. And it's all of God's grace. All of God's grace. The relationships we enjoy as fellow believers, the family relationships, not just husband and wife, children, grandchildren, neighbors, friends, church family, all heirs together. Okay, finally, number one, understand her. Number two, honor her. Number three, you are heirs together. Number four, because your prayers will be hindered. If we're not careful, our prayers will be hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. That will be the result if we husbands don't treat our wives as we've got to do. God will block our prayers, and there can be nothing worse in this life than for God to shut his ears to our prayers. The word here means interrupt, hinder. Our prayers will be hindered, interrupted. It even has the idea of blocking a road, of hindering a traveler from going down that road. Paul said in Romans 15:22, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. I've been blocked from coming to you. 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. So same word used of Satan blocking Paul from coming to minister to them. We want our prayer to be heard, and we will be heard in prayer as we follow God's guidebook for marriage, for life, and for eternal life. So don't live with your spouse in such a selfish, self-righteous way that God would have to block your prayers from reaching his ears. That's what he's saying here. And that would be severe for God to cut off his blessing to you and me, which shows how vital it is for the Christian husband to love his spouse in this grace of life. And by the way, it's assumed here by God that a husband and wife will pray together. It's just the way we do it. We're both Christians. We pray together. And if you're not praying together, It's your fault, husband. It's your fault. I've never met a wife that wouldn't love her husband to lead the family in prayer. Never met one. I don't think I ever will. Not a Christian wife. She craves that kind of headship. She desires it more than you could ever know. You think it's no big deal. To her and the family, it is a huge deal. Lead her in having a consistent devotional time together. Yes, with the children, include them, but also try to find a time and make time where just the two of you pray together and grow together in the Lord. And I dare say most people are hindered because we simply choose not to pray together. We make a choice. You see, it's a choice we make. And what choice have you and your spouse made concerning prayer? God says, pray together. Take time and make time to just pray together. And it doesn't have to be long. It can be 5 minutes. Just start with 5 minutes and take time to pray. You don't have to do it every day, but surely you can make an effort to do it Monday, Wednesday, Friday to start with. And then add Tuesday and Thursday in there, maybe even Saturday and Sunday. But just do it regularly, 3 days a week or more. Why don't we do it? Because we don't believe God is serious. We're not walking by faith. We don't believe his word here. We don't. We're selfish, we're prideful, and we've decided to do what we want to do. And so I make that choice. You made that choice if you're not praying together. Nobody's hindering you. The government hasn't come into your house and you can't pray together, right? We all worry about, the government is shutting God out of our schools and this and that and that and this, and yet what's going on in our homes? Government hasn't come into your homes yet, said you can't pray together, you can't read the Bible together, you can't teach your children the Bible. No, we have absolute freedom to do that. You don't talk about it too loud where the neighbors hear you, right? So, he delights to answer the prayer of the upright and shower his bountiful blessings. So let's live to the glory of God that we be not a roadblock to his blessings. So it is with all of it. We choose how to live. We choose whether or not we're going to live for Christ. We choose whether we want to love him with all our heart or not. If we choose not to love him, that means we've chosen to love the world, love the things of this life, to love myself. We choose how to live in our relationships with others, one another, and with the Lord. Understand her, honor her, heirs together, pray together. It's our outline. May God help us obey his word and be faithful. Let's close. Our Father, thank you for time together now in your word. Thank you for this very practical passage of scripture that reminds us of how important it is that our marriages be what they ought to be. Lord, some live in very difficult situations, and there are some who maybe their spouse is not saved, or maybe their spouse is not living for you, Lord. They're both Christian, but it may be the husband is not walking with you in the way they should. And Lord, I pray you'll help our wives just to obey your word, Lord, and be an example. Be an example of godliness and of trust, of faith, obeying your word as best they can. And Lord, for those of us who live in relationships where we are saved, may we have the kind of marriages that would honor you and would please you, Lord, and would be a blessing to one another. Help us, Lord, to honor our wives. Help our wives to follow their husbands and honor them as well. And we know we then bring honor and glory to you. Bless now as we close. We just commit this time to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.